to What's the Mood, where we talk all things mood and mindset, sleep, nutrition, chemical health, and leadership. I'm your host, Julie Berry, from the Illinois Human Performance Project, and we are so glad you're here.
Nate Scott is a personalized strength and nutritional coach who believes in change through empowerment. He is the owner and operator of Fuel Inspired. All right, Nate, welcome to ILHPP's What's the Mood podcast. Great to have you.
Hey, good to be here. Honestly, I was looking forward to this quite a bit.
Yeah, so have we. So I'm going to jump right in. Tell us how you got into the field of fitness and nutrition.
Okay, so that's an easy one. Honestly, in my early 20s, I was trying to figure things out, you know, like most other people are. And I started off by going to like a technical college, and I started off by going into sales, and then I started family moved, I should say. So then I was kind of like floundering, not really sure what I should do. So it was a combination of like sales and school and like trying to grasp at straws for what I really liked. And to be honest with you, when you're just working really hard under that age and you're trying to figure it out, sometimes you don't think about the things you're doing on the side. So for me, and I'll just be straightforward because this is how I am. I started going to the bars a lot and filling my time with things that weren't healthy. And, you know, nothing too crazy, just being, you know, a typical Midwestern Wisconsin guy, just, you know, going on having a couple beers here and there. But I just remember coming home one day, or one night, and the next morning I woke up and I just felt just kind of sick of it. Mm. And I don't know what it was, but like my buddy, Justin, out of nowhere, he's like my brother, called me and said, "Hey man, I'm in town for once. You want to go to the gym?" And I was like, well, I was feeling pretty horrible about like constantly making the wrong choices and staying out too late and not getting enough sleep and not knowing where I was going in life and things like that. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? Never really been to the gym, never really lifted weights. I played sports my whole life, but like never felt like how it would be to try to improve just a little bit every single day. And that's what strength training is. Mm-hmm. So I went to the gym with him. We spent about an hour on, you know, lifting weights and whatever, like probably, you know, typical 20-year-old guy stuff like bicep curls and bench press, because that was important back then. And I left the gym and I felt so good. And back then I didn't know that there's this whole like mental boost, like hormonal boost, and all these great things that happen after physical exertion. So the next day I called him up. I said, "Hey, can we go to the gym again?" And he goes, "Yeah, sounds good." So went to the gym again, got another great lift in, and I'm like, I kind of like this. So I got a membership to the gym. I'm like, all right, this is cool. Then the next day I went by myself, left the gym, had a nice strength training session, had no idea what I was doing, but I just kind of looked around the gym and said, well, that guy's got big shoulders and that guy's got big legs. I'm just going to kind of copy him and do what they did. And I left the gym and on my way out the door, I asked one of the big guys, I said, "What are you going to do next? Like after you start lifting?" He goes, "Oh, you got to eat some protein." So anyway, that's beside the point. So I went straight from there to a GNC, bought a bunch of supplements. The next day I'm back at the gym. And ever since then, which has been about 20 years, I've been lifting weights 5 days a week. I've been trying to eat balanced, trying to focus on sleep. And there was a point in time where, and not that I have had an addiction to alcohol or anything like that, which there's nothing wrong with that. You can always work through it. But there was a point where I didn't find it necessary to drink at all for like 7 or 8 years. And not because I was restricting myself, but because I enjoyed so much how the feeling felt of like making little improvements every single day. Mm-hmm. And that's to me what strength training is. And that's part of the reason why I help people with it, because everyone's looking for this huge, like magic workout or this magic diet or something that's like, you know, what's a Jack and Beanstalk, the magic bean, like something to really make it quick. But to me, I try to teach people that you have to enjoy the journey to health, and you got to look back in a year from now, you ask yourself, can I still be doing what I'm doing right now in 12 months? And if you can, it's the right decision to make in regards to health and wellness and nutrition. Like if you can make these little tiny changes and just like 0.01% a little bit better every single day and try to progress and try to change that, it can help you a lot. So the reason why I got into it is because I know how much it helped me and probably kept me off the wrong path. And I know that a lot of the clients I have right now, they're varying ages. So everyone's at a different point and you can help them find a balance in a way that they can positively impact themselves without overdoing it. So I always ask myself or my clients, can you see yourself doing this in 12 months? And if they can't, then we find a way to make whatever we're working on attainable for that specific goal. So little tiny improvements every single day, and you never feel worse when you try to make yourself a little bit better.
Yeah, love that. So like 20 years ago, it sounds like you just dove into all the goodness of fitness and nutrition. And I know, you know, here at our program, we focus on mood and mindset, sleep, chemical health, and nutrition. So it sounds like you like just caught the bug and have been going ever since.
Yeah. And honestly, I've never left the gym, or I've never eaten a meal that I would consider healthy or homemade, because, you know, those things can be intimidating because you don't have to eat organic or do everything right all the time. You have to find balance, because that's a huge part of that mental aspect of things. But I've never left a scenario that I felt like I was balanced doing it feeling worse. So that's the thing. It's like, I have to figure out a way to make sure that everyone I talk to in life understands how important this is, but how actually easy it is to do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that, because you found something that really helped you, you want to help others know the secret, in a sense, you know?
Totally.
It's not, I mean, actually a secret.
No, it's not. And the thing is, that's another thing too, is I don't think anyone should be like a gatekeeper in the fitness and health world. And people will do that all the time, where you have a conversation with someone. It's like in sales, where someone's like always holding that thing in the back pocket, just in case they need to use it to close you or against you or something like that. So when I speak with clients the first time, they literally sit down with me and look at what I'm looking at, and they know everything I know, so that all I'm doing is helping lay out a roadmap and help them stay accountable with like a balanced journey. So again, there's so much gatekeeping and so much like weird information and misinformation and like absolutes in fitness that are just totally false. Mm-hmm. And my whole goal is like, all right, let's open up the gate, give the key to the kingdom to these people, and just help them on their journey and help them enjoy that.
That's great. So advocacy is a big theme for us here at our program. And just curious what advocating for yourself in fitness and nutrition looks like lately.
Yeah, I would say one of the things that got me starting my own business, because I worked for a couple different companies for personal training for a while. And honestly, I liked the clients and I had a blast with my clients. I built a huge clientele. I tried to embed myself in the community. But one of the things that always bothered me was there's too much of like, do as I say and not as I do type of thing with clients. Mm-hmm. And for me, not with clients, but with the companies, I should say. And there's a lot of like, when people are trying to better their lives, there's a lot of like, hey, we're going to put a price tag on this person's head. This is what they're worth. They're a premium member or whatever, you know? So I think that's, to me, that's not fair. And it's kind of disrespectful, because they're trying to better themselves, but you're looking at them as a dollar sign. There has to be balance. So I left the company that I was working for, you know, a successful trainer, probably 30 plus hours of training a week. I did some stuff on the side. So constantly busy, constantly getting clients, constantly working with people. And I left that company, even though it was secure, because one of the things that as a human being, you need to advocate for yourself is like, you can control the culture that you're in. I think that personally, and you don't need to be disrespectful about it. So one of the things that led me to start my own company is I didn't agree with the culture that was being set in a lot of different gyms. And I felt like I could really make my own personal culture and my specific goals and moral fiber kind of imbued in my clients and my company. So being an advocate for yourself is not necessarily like standing up for yourself and yelling your name from the top of the roof all the time, but it's having like a strong moral code, but being able to understand where people are at in their journey in health and wellness and use your culture that you've created, not only like mentally, but physically and tangibly to them, that they can take ownership in your theories and your principles and things like that. So I always tell people, never be afraid to challenge upward, as long as it's with respect and you know that you're going to get some kind of like process out of it, or progress, I should say. So for me, the biggest thing is, I want clients to ask me why I do certain things. I want clients to ask me certain questions, because it goes back to the same thing, no gatekeeping here. And it's trying to basically empower everyone to take ownership of their health, but controlling the culture that they live in. Yeah. So I think that's important. I mean, honestly, respect for me is a big thing, huge thing. And you don't just have to respect someone by just, you know, brown nosing all the time. Self-respect is more important to me, because if you respect yourself enough to ask questions, to challenge the norm respectfully, and then to execute the things that you promise that you follow through on, then you're basically showing respect to the other people around you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it sounds like you see advocacy personally, like you want to live out what you think, what you tell others to do. You want to be like an example of that. And you also like have an openness to being like asked questions about things so that you can continue to grow and prove how things like work in not just for them, but for you. You like that challenge of question, like everything's open here and we're all trying to learn and grow and advocate for ourselves and the world.
Definitely. And you know, it kind of ties into, you know, previous conversations that you and I have had about like, you know, vulnerability on both ends of things. So yeah. That's something that, you know, I still work on a daily basis, because, you know, like I said before, I was in sales before I got into fitness. And it was like, if you showed any signs of weakness in sales, you weren't making money. So like there came this whole mindset shift from being like type A unapproachable to like type A, but like building people to be, take ownership of what they want to have as far as progress and accomplishments in regards to health and wellness, mentally and physically. So a little bit of a mindset shift. And again, it's either accountability or vulnerability on both ends of the spectrum, and those can be interchangeable.
Yeah. Is there anyone in your, you know, in your professional world who you've had to advocate for recently, like maybe an example of how you've done that for someone else?
So I can say, I can give you one for like a former peer, and I can give you one for a client. Okay. And this is a client that's way outside of my wheelhouse, because I have my original education and certification, the specializations are all in athletics. So golf, fitness, strength and conditioning, you name it. But I really connected with a client that I used to work with, and she was an elderly client, functional human being. We still did strength training every single week. We track progress and everything like that. But her husband is in a long-term care facility, and she trusted me enough to actually go out there 3 times a week, work with him. I'm trying to get him to stand again, work with him and trying to get him to transfer from wheelchair to bed. And again, this is not my wheelhouse, but I know how to adapt, and I know how to do research, and I know how to learn, and you know how to resource. So the most challenging part about that was I'm at his facility 3 times a week, and I've turned into his like daily advocate at the facility. So I'm constantly communicating with the nurses there. I'm constantly communicating with the people there. I'm constantly communicating with his wife and other family members that visit him to make sure that, number one, he's up and out of bed and active and involved with people. Because, you know, when you start to age, there's always that mental decline and physical decline. So him just sitting in the room and me coming and working out with him 3 times a week wasn't good enough. Like, I need to make sure he's interacting with people. So I was an advocate for him by working with the staff there.
Yeah.
And I constantly communicate with his wife and tell him how he's being treated so she can follow up with them too. And then for me, it's the opposite end of things. Like, I have to advocate for myself. So if I show up there and he's not awake and out of bed and dressed and everything like that, then I need to go back to the staff and be like, hey, listen, this is my time too, but it's also his time, because we cannot miss any more progress with him. So it's like I became someone's advocate in a field that I did not feel comfortable in at all. And it literally just kind of stemmed from someone trusting me and me building a relationship with that person. So I think a lot of times advocacy comes down to, again, having that relationship with yourself, and then also having a really good relationship with someone else that you can kind of control the culture that you have in that specific realm at any given time.
Yeah.
So again, it comes down to like, you have these standards that you understand where people are coming from, but you don't stray from them. And I think that enables you to be an advocate no matter what field or what room you step in, for yourself or for other people. So that's kind of my mindset.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, That makes so much sense how advocacy is all about relationship, whether it's your relationship with yourself or others, people entrusting you, caring enough to, go beyond what a job description or what you think is because you know it's the right thing and
For
your
sure.
heart's in it. That's very cool.
I think one of the things, it's funny because one of the jobs I had before was I was a buyer for CarMax, and it was very random. I actually got the job after I've done what everyone's wanted to do. I had a bad job before, a horrible job, a complete lunatic of a boss, and I walked into the office and said, "I'm done." And it was great. I did the thing where I like slammed my box in the counter. I walked out the door. It was awesome. Well, there's a few other words that flew around in there between him and I, but we won't go into that. But it was very, like I walked out and it was liberating. But then I'm like half a mile away and I'm like, I don't have a job anymore. So I got recruited by CarMax to work with their purchasing team. And when you're like buying cars at an auction and you have no idea what's going on and people are yelling out things that don't make sense, like, building a quick relationship with someone on the fly by just openly communicating with them is literally the easiest way to do that. And I didn't know half of these guys from Adam, but it was like I just spoke with them and told them what I needed. And sometimes it can be as simple as that. Other times it can be multi-layered, like with my client that I told you about, where it can just be just as simple as opening up and having a conversation, or it could be something like that's super, super complicated, but got
Cool.
to do it either way.
Yeah. All right, Nate. Well, we are excited that you're going to be a part of our advocacy workshop coming up in October. And I thought I could end with if you could take yourself back to younger Nate, like high school Nate, these are the students who will be at our workshop, but also who listen to this podcast and basically what our program is all about, student leaders. Like, from what you've learned and where you find yourself, like, what might be some words of advice or wisdom that you'd, love to share to that group of students?
Well, to be honest, there's a lot that I would have done a little bit differently when I was in high school. I mean, I had a great time. I actually played a lot of sports and did pretty well academically. But I will say one of the things that has kind of built how I am today is you got to speak up. You have to tell people what you're thinking, but you can't do it in a way that is like comes across as complaining, because I don't care what the temperature is of whatever environment or society at this point in time. Like, there is a difference between advocating for yourself and trying to stand up for yourself and ask for things in a constructive way than just demanding them and being complaining. So that's not being an advocate. That's someone that is expecting more than what they're willing to put in my opinion. Hopefully that doesn't ruffle any feathers. However, when I was younger, I wish I would have done that more, because sometimes you're just afraid of authority instead of, well, let me ask them this. Maybe they can help me get to the next level of where I want to be. So when I was younger, I had a hard time approaching people that were above me. So I would encourage anyone, young Nate, to feel confident and be a part of the conversation. No matter what it is, because you never know what you might learn, you never know who you might meet. So it's okay to be in an environment that you're uncomfortable in, but it's not okay to be in an environment that you're uncomfortable in and not try to adapt. Because that's what everything is now. Everything with strength training, with nutrition, with everything, it's all about being able to adapt. I've had clients in the past that they throw their diet out the window because they went on vacation and they stopped at a Quick Trip and had something like, who cares? It's one meal, move on. So it's like when you're a kid, if you run into a barrier, like finding ways to move past that barrier and be confident in it is one of the things that it's very hard to teach younger people how to do, but I think it's so important to develop this mindset of it's okay to challenge upward as long as it's respectful. That's one of the things that I really, really would have like told myself when I was younger to do differently, was to have a voice. And to speak up and ask questions instead of just kind of going along, and not to do it in a manner that you come across as someone that is entitled or ungrateful or complaining. There is a difference, big time, and it's something that it's kind of a fine line. So
That's awesome. I think I hear from you saying, like, just because you're uncomfortable, don't shrink back. And also, you belong in that space. So
Yeah,
push through
absolutely.
and find the way to ask your question or say what you feel like you need to say in a way that is constructive and helpful, not only for you, but those around.
I think and this is near and dear to my heart, like because I have some mental toughness education from the National Academy of Sports Medicine. But again, I can't catch myself constantly asking people for help in that realm. So especially being a male, and I think men need to be okay with being more vulnerable and being more emotionally available. And we're still taught kind of to be tough. But being tough doesn't mean that you shouldn't speak up. So any of my younger male clients, no matter what they're going through, I always say, hey, if you guys have something to say, you have to say it. If you're not doing well today and you're struggling with something, don't just work through it. Like, it's okay to speak up and talk to people. Again, that can be one of those scenarios where if it's building up, it could come across as complaining, but it's better out than in when it comes to like struggling and being vulnerable and being in an area that you don't feel like you're doing well with. Like, it's okay to like talk to people. It's okay to say, hey, I'm struggling with this today, whether or not it's something like I suck at math, which I kind of do, or it's something like I want to quit the football team and I don't feel like anyone else like likes me. So I've had conversations like that with younger athletes, like, I want to quit soccer because they're picking on me. And I'm like, well, let's hear about this. And I'd have them break it down and tell me about it. And then sometimes the conversation goes, well, go talk to your coach. Want me to go talk to your coach with you? I'll do that. I don't care. I'm not gonna, come across as a prick. I just want to like have like someone's back. I personally think that I wish I would have known how important being emotionally available and like vulnerable was as a young male, because I never thought it was okay to say I wasn't doing well. So you have all these things that you build up for years and years and years and years, and you almost learn how to not communicate, which is exactly the opposite of what you should be doing in any kind of like self-advocacy or self-care. And I don't know where I've heard this before, but like vulnerability is a superpower. It really is, because not many people can do it without prompt. So, or in a way that's respectful or not come across as complaining. So it's definitely something that, with young males, it's a huge thing that I try to like just like instill in them. Like, it's okay. Like, we can talk about this stuff. No matter what kind of day you're having, like, we're gonna lift heavy. We're gonna lift heavy weights. But if you're not having a good day, we can talk about that while you're lifting heavy weights. And then no better environment to get that stuff out of you than to throw some iron around. Yeah.
Oh, that's great, Nate. It's been awesome to have you on here. And from my perspective, it seems like you're leading with vulnerability, which will only invite others to do the same. So thanks for being on the
Trying.
pod. Looking forward to having you at the workshop, and great to have you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.